May we help to commence our weeknight worship singing together hymn number 554, hymn 554, tune Norman 196. Though we walk through this wilderness, God's promise is our stay. His goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. Though hosts of enemies rise up to fill us with dismay, the Lord will make his goodness pass before us in the way to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hope to stay. The Lord will make his goodness pass before us in the way. Hymn 554, tune Norman 196.
With the Lord's help this evening, we'll read together from the Holy Word of God in the Gospel of John and a part of chapter 8. The Gospel of John, a part of chapter 8. We'll read the first 36 verses of John's Gospel, chapter 8. Eighth chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus, stooping down, put his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw that none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my father. For if ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he saith unto them, Ye are from beneath, but I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for ye, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Then they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For if I do always those things that please him, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house for ever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We'll leave the reading of the Holy Word of God there. May his own blessing rest upon those verses we have read together, and may be pleased to help us and teach us at the throne of grace. Most gracious and most merciful Lord God Almighty, do help us, we pray, to bow before thee, whose sparing and long-suffering mercies are lengthened out to us, that we are favoured to gather once more in thy name together in this thy house of prayer. And all praise and honour may be unto thee for thy mercies that endure forever. Visit us still with thy rich blessing to bring us safely together in thy house this evening, and to fix our hearts upon thee as we seek to leave behind those busy scenes of journeys or life and the day of it we have passed through, but be found with our eyes on thee, Lord Jesus, fixed, and there our hopes to be stayed. Do thou make thy goodness to pass in this thine appointed way for us, we pray thee, this wilderness way, yet this heavenward way. Oh, may it be in that way of thy truth, Lord Jesus, we pray thee, the blessings thou dost bring forth of thyself. Set us free from being those servants of self and of sin that thou hast taught of in thy word. And do bring us to thee, we pray, as those in humble confession of our sin, acknowledgement of our own unfit and unworthiness. But though much is there to condemn us, and even thy holy law, yet thou art pleased to set the condemned free, as we have read, and to give that spirit of humility and of repentance and of godly sorrow, in that great need of thy help to go on our way in the path of righteousness and truth, not to turn back in the ways of evil, we pray thee, but to be kept in that way looking unto thee, most gracious Lord. So may thy light shine upon us in thy word this evening, and oh, may our eyes be open to see those wondrous things of thee, Lord Jesus, in thy word, and that they may be in their hearts by thy Spirit's power. O Lord, do abundantly bless this provision of thy house. May it be the house of prayer to each who gather here, we pray thee, to find liberty at thy feet, pouring out their souls unto thee, giving help to those who bear office, to be helped in all that they labour in thy great and holy name. And do be a strength for them in the midst of the way. Help to our friend in Odessa this evening on his pathway. My servant also I've sent from us this evening. Do give him and his that rest and chain his time away. And that refreshing to continue in his labours in that set time and way. O Lord, do look upon each then gathering this evening and remember each in their pathways and situations. It's the families and the little ones that gather here on the Lord's days. Watch over and be with them, we pray thee. And those detained with the little ones this evening and other circumstances that detain, affliction's pathway and that bringing of laying low. Lord, do gather us as one before thee as we seek to unite in thy fear and to worship at thy feet, Lord Jesus, and to there cast all of our cares, we pray thee, and cry unto thee that was in mercy, help us and be with us. Give the guiding influence of thy Holy Spirit, we pray, and bring us as those followers of thee, Lord Jesus, we do beseech of thee. Lord, thou knowest that each and every need as we gather here this evening, and do shine forth in thy rich mercy upon us, we pray thee. And do, Lord, do shine forth yet in thy word and bring thy blessing to each heart and soul, we pray thee. Say unto our souls, I am thy salvation, we do beseech of thee. Do shine forth in the midst of all our darkness. Reveal thyself, Lord Jesus, who art that true light. Oh, be the light of truth to us each this evening as we gather around thy word. To enlighten our dark hearts and souls, we pray thee. And bring that light and liberty of the gospel to our hearts, if it could please thee. O dear Lord, do shine forth as we gather around thy word. We see thy glorious power and the natural light given in the daytime. But soon the night must also come at thine appointment. And yet thou art that still that same light to shine where thy people are. Whether they feel to be in the dark or in the night, in the light, do reveal thyself as one in the midst, we pray thee, therefore we do beseech of thee. Do give us light in the felt darknesses that oft we are found in our ignorance and our poverty. Give us humbled hearts of acknowledgement and confession of our sin, that we may not seek in that condemning way to condemn each other, but only realise our own solemn condemnation. That we also have those sins that cannot cast a stone at another, but need that humility to acknowledge that multitude of faults within us and to pour our souls before thee. So may the spirit of grace and of supplications be blessed to us and poured upon us, we pray thee. And those humble confessions be graciously heard of thee in heaven, thy dwelling place. We come to plead for thy great name's sake. That great wonder of thyself, Lord Jesus, the Saviour, the great High Priest that intercedes in heaven above. Oh, do pray for us, we pray, that our faith fail not, even according to thine own word. For thou knowest our fainting and our fearing faith, and often so little with many impossibilities, and yet thou dost bring the mountains to flood in thy presence, the rough place to be made a plain. And where there seems to be no way, thou hast made a way. O dear Lord, may we view it as thee thyself who brings that to pass, we do pray thee. And oh, may the glory, the honour, the praise be ever unto thee. Please to make these blessings known. So we pray to be delivered from our own fearful heart and trembling faith. O Lord, so often feels to fail. O Lord, may it be a strengthened faith by thee, a true faith thou hast given us. That brings us to cast all our care upon thee. Do come humbly to thy feet, Lord Jesus, and there be found hearing thy truth, hearing thy word, hearing those things of thee, Lord Jesus, we pray thee. And that we need that blessing this evening to be at thy feet and to hear what thou dost speak. That there was in mercy speak a blessing to our hearts, we pray thee. We deserve to come under that condemning truth of thy holy law. Lord, leave us not to turn from thy word and the teaching of truth in it, but see the great need that it may find us out and bring us as guilty sinners before thee. And that need us soften hearts to acknowledge those sins and plead thy forgiving mercy concerning them. Lord, do bless the means of grace as we gather here together. and shine forth in the midst of each of us, we pray, that whether present or absent, knowing each particular case, each particular need, in restoring and healing to one afflicted and each afflicted one, with strengthening and restoring mercies, we pray thee. He that healeth and forgiveth every sin, thus reveal the blessing of thy healing and forgiving love and mercy, we pray thee. Grant thy hand that sanctifies in our pathways, that those things appointed may be made that blessing in thy time and way, and we be helped to be humble before thee, to seek to be led and taught of thee, most gracious Lord, and made ready for eternity. And we hold all things here with that loose grip. Thou hast blessed us with so much to be blessed with in providential things, that we may look to thee, the great giver of them, and not be overcome by the gifts that thou dost make known and give to us. Use them rightly, O Lord, to be, O Lord, a means of that blessing and reminder of thee and thy great goodness to us. And how unworthy we are, the least of any of them, to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, those unseen things which are eternal, and we need the possession of, most gracious Lord, to land us safe in thy heavenly glory. So, dear Lord, deliver us from all what we are as sinners, and the sins of our hearts we do beseech of thee, that do bless for the aboundings of thy grace, which alone can supply each of our needs. And so shine forth in this house of prayer, gather others in also to worship thee here, in those petitions that there might be a building up, we pray, in the church and congregation, a building up in thy Zion when we are ministered and brought low, and a sorrowing over our sins and our departures, and all that grieveth thy Holy Spirit of truth. God, may it please thee to shine with thy light and return in thy power, and to therefore bring thy great blessing. That do strengthen those things that remain, we pray thee, encourage those that do continue faithfully in thy name, and feed their souls with thyself, Lord Jesus, the bread of life sent down from heaven, and keep our eyes and hopes fixed upon thee, most gracious Lord. Appear in the nation and turn the hearts of the people yet to thee, even the rulers and those in authority and in our royal household, in the hearts we bear before thee. May praying hearts be given to each of them, we pray, and may each be brought to the field their great need and that great matter of eternity and of an ever dying soul. Oh, leave our own hearts not destitute of this which is vital. Leave us not to look upon the needs of others and neglect our own hearts and souls. O Lord, hear those petitions that are brought before thee, because yet in mercy remember still. Lord, do visit thy little remnant and the needs that they come into. Relieve thine oppressed ones, those captive ones. Set us each at liberty in thee, Lord Jesus. Bring that revelation of thyself as one in our midst, as Emmanuel, God with us, as one whose praises we gather to sing and to glorify, and to bear before in humility, and to cry unto thee in this that way of prayer. Be pleased to hear us thus, we do beseech of thee. And outdo that poverty of thus of our petitions in the abounding of thy grace. And give all that is needful for one to speak and each to hear. That in all things thou would have the preeminence, thy name be glorified, and their souls be fed with the manna of thy truth. We ask all these things, Lord Jesus, praying forgiveness of all that is amiss. For thy great name's sake, we ask, Amen.
May we be helped to continue by singing hymn number 70. Hymn number 70, tune In Memoriam, 842. Thrice comfortable hope that calms my stormy breast, my Father's hand prepares a cup, and what he wills his best. Hymn number 70, tune In Memoriam 842.
Shall be pleased to help me this evening. I seek to direct your prayerful attention to a text you'll find in the chapter we read in John chapter 8, and then reading together verse 32. The 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, and then the 32nd verse, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The 32nd verse of John's Gospel, chapter 8. I'll read again those few preceding verses that set this context. As Jesus spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How much the Lord Jesus Christ was labouring the sacred doctrine of himself being the Son of the Father, and that great oneness of himself with his Father, whose word he was speaking, whose will he was doing, and manifesting that wonderful love in the forgiveness of the condemned woman, to show forth to condemned sinners that he is that same one that has that same power in the light of our condemnation, yet to declare the great blessing of forgiveness, or of setting free from that bondage of sin that she was a servant of, and each one of us likewise, and to give that needful exhortation which only he can give the strength to go on in, that is also vital to us, that we go and sin no more. We continue not to look back into the way of sin and evil, or come near the temptation of it, but be seeking to be separate from what is a besetting sin to us and evil to overtake us. And only the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ can bring this to pass. So in our text this evening is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to those of the Jews that were remarked here as having believed on him, in the midst of all these truths that the scribes and Pharisees were stumbling over, yet there was the grace of faith given to others who stumbled not at those truths but saw the blessing of God in it to them. And so to each of those he gives this needful exhortation, that in their belief that he knew of, and therefore knowing all inward thoughts and spirits, it says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But it was this 32nd verse that seemed to take hold of my spirit in reading this text, in this part of the word of God, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What a wonderful covenant blessing this is, that the divine certainty of the living soul is to know the truth, to have the blessing of truth revealed, of truth taught to us by the Spirit of Truth himself, and to find that that truth no longer rests as we deserve it to be, a condemning truth. And truth is truth in every aspect of the law and of the gospel. But as it relates here really in the Lord Jesus Christ, so there is a making free or setting at liberty. Or what the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to speak of when their reaction to this was that as they were Abraham's seed, they were never in bondage. They were freeborn as they looked upon themselves by a natural connection to Abraham so many years before. But the Lord Jesus Christ straight away then gives this needful teaching that their connection through the natural genealogy, which they laid so much emphasis upon, was not what would set them free, but the person and the work of himself, the Saviour of sinners, is only what sets free. And Jesus therefore makes that word plain, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So really that verse 36 is the same teaching that we have here, but in the way that he uses the illustration. In those households where there were servants, they were not those that would inherit the blessings of the household. They were there to work and to labour, and would at some stage be dispensed of those labours and be needed no more. They were not a part of the family that lived there. But the son, or the children then, of the family, were those indeed who we're at liberty. And he is that son and that brother and friend of his dear people, who is there to deliver the household of his people then from their servitude of sin, from our old Adam state, our own nature, that we have each become servants to from our very birth, and into our entering into this world. And what a solemn servitude that of sin is. How well we serve ourselves in evil things. How much we need this great blessing that we are reading of in our text, and ye shall know the truth. The truth that in our own condition of sinners we are servants to sin. The devil himself being the great master of lies. And that when hidden away we might save from what we realize in our deadness, not seeing what is really true. And he deceiving us all the more to follow him, to serve him, to love those things that are earthly and carnal, and anything that is against God and the things of God. Expressing that truth in Romans 8, that the carnal mind is an enmity to God, enemy of God, enmity of God, is against all that God is, in truth and righteousness and holiness, and of all that is to be glorified and is all glorious. So the Lord Jesus Christ uses this illustration then to answer their ignorance in saying that they were free through their natural connection. Abraham has many descendants then in a natural way, but it is only the children of Isaac that are under the blessing spiritually, because there that promised son of Isaac would come in due time. It is not the children of Ishmael that were under the bondage of the servant woman that bore him, but born then as a free son of the Abraham and Sarah. And in that spiritual way is God's own work, God's own ordering, and God's own blessing. And seen here then in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the same matter that even Abraham himself stumbled over, that surely Ishmael could live before the Lord and be accepted. But that could not be so. God would not accept him. But the promised son of Isaac would come and should come. And from him would the Lord Jesus Christ arise in the earth. Or that God's ways are so far above our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. And so this truth then that he is speaking of, he seeks in this way then to illustrate. And how we need our eyes open to see what a deliverance we need from that servitude then of ourself and of sin. And to be blessed with the knowledge of Christ, which really the two words in our text of truth, they could be changed to our Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall know Jesus, and Jesus shall make you free. Ye shall know the Saviour, the Christ of God, God himself in the Father, Son and Holy Ghost, and he alone shall make free, or bring this deliverance that is so needful then from our own sinful self. And what a blessing here then is a stronger than any other. What a great power then sin lays hold upon us with. And our own spirit then is ignorantly under that power. And when enlivened by the knowledge of this truth, how it struggles the more to be free from that power of sin. And cries out, oh that I had not a myself, or a wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, or the influence of our own spirit, the warfare between the new man of grace and the old man of sin, as we read of it in the Galatian epistle. And ye shall know the truth. So this opening of this verse, it relates to what we read there in verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And again, he is the word, but he gives the teachings through his word, and will have us then to seek to find the Lord Jesus' blessing in those teachings he has given us, and to see what a great fullness is in them. And all the scriptures thereby are that which contains the fullness in the truths of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. How much we need that help to continue in my word. As you've given them in the Old Testament truth, as the New Testament truth was now being written, we might say, as spoken out, acted out, lived out in the perfect life of the Saviour, and each of those around him whom he met and we read of, and many others also, of course. As John reminds us in the end of this Gospel, there were many other things done that are not recorded, that could not be recorded, all of them, because the books that we've written, the world itself, would not contain it. So great was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ amongst sinners. But the exhortation is still the same for us this evening in following on to know the Lord. It is a continuing in his word then. And the word we will ever find is a true word, a word of truth. The devil will hate us for this desire to know the Lord Jesus and the truth that his word is speaking of, because it exposes himself as the liar and the defeated one, and those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as those who are saved from that condemnation that we rightly come under, as those who have failed to do the right thing, to be righteous and to be upright before the Lord. Oh, how these things are said in God's word, to come close and to search us, to not view them as things that others need, but what ourselves need, what I need, what you need. And he speaks to these, and then are you my disciples indeed, or those who truly follow spiritually, follow for the right reasons, desire to learn of him, not because of the outward things that were done, that we read of back in John 6, the feeding upon the multiplied bread and fishes, or miracles that were done to please outward notions or thoughts or emotions, but fed upon him as the bread of life, lived upon his person, his truth, because the saving power of it was revealed, and the suitability of it was made known by the Spirit to the soul of such, feeling their guilt and shame. And so he puts his word forward then to these disciples. Indeed, it may seem an encourage all each off tonight. We say, well, how come he be one of these disciples? Indeed, we feel to have failed at the first mention of what is the right way. And have we continued in any matter? A little hope seems to be dashed so really to pieces. Our own spirit has rejected it again and again. Our own self-righteous spirit is like these Pharisees and Jews that question it all the time. Can argue more reasonable things to be true, and all that we read of the Lord Jesus tend to be wrong. Oh, how ignorant our poor spirit is in our own sight and way. What great compassion then the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of here, to show forth that it is in his free gift of fulfilling this truth, which really is a promise, and in ye shall know the truth. The continuing end in the word of God is under the promise then that it shall be a divine revelation of himself, or the truth of God to the soul, as one whose love draws the soul to him, to hear his voice, to read of his word, to hear his word. And though it be that word of truth that condemns our sin and finds us out as lost sinners, yet a word that brings us in as he gathers up the outcasts, as he shows he saves to the uttermost, as he sees that we come rightly as condemned before him. And as we read in the opening part of this chapter, the Jews came then condemning another for the very act of the sin that they beheld, and sought to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ to being this very truth. What foolishness was in their hearts to bring to such as the Lord Jesus Christ is. Yes, as he was in that time in the glory being veiled, such souls not knowing the truth must realise the solemnity of that truth now in their death in eternity. But those who know this saving truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was one then put in the midst under this great accusation, and God's word clearly states in those earlier parts of it, in the law given, spoken of course in this way that Moses in the law commanded us, Well, it was God who commanded them through Moses, the servant of God. And yet, often we read it is related as the law of Moses, the faithful servant of God to bring that truth. And here then, the truth that is in it stood condemned. And ye shall know the truth. So is there not a need for our own hearts to know our own spirit then condemned by that same truth? But what a mercy it speaks of a deliverance then from that which we are rightly condemned under in the perfect work of our Lord Jesus Christ. This motive then was all wrong in what they did. They did not seek to execute the truth of the law in a quiet way, a right way, but to do it publicly and to find fault with those who did not understand as they thought they did. But they met with one then who would answer them by that which he wrote upon the ground, as though he heard them not. And by their continual asking or continual tempting, provoking him to answer in some way or another, that there might be the fault found with him. Oh, then he himself comes with those words as he lifted up himself. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. So the truth then was to be known, a truth that would find them out, to not leave them able then to continue in their accusing way or to execute the judgment they were desiring to do so, and to bring about the death of the condemned one, to show that there was in themselves that which was worthy of death. They must cast, as it were, the stones at themselves first, and be those in a spirit dead to what they thought they were righteous in. And so again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then that set time comes when he looks up again to see indeed that there was none to condemn. Oh, how he speaks that wonderful word then to the dear woman then, and neither do I. He asks her, where are those thine accusers? Doth no man accuse thee? You see what a truth was entering in here to one who calls him Lord, or sees here as one with authority, one that had a righteous truth within him, a right power. Jesus said unto her, as she says, no man, Lord, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Oh, the only deliverance from our righteous condemnation then, of the soul that must come under this teaching of the Lord Jesus, the truth, is indeed to see that ourself is a lost sinner before a holy God. Oh, the touching of the truth in our hearts then to bring us in humble confession, to see the hope that is in the forgiving love and mercy of the Lord, and thereby the Spirit then brings forth the truth in that wonderful expression the Apostle Paul uses, the truth of it is in Jesus. Or as John writes of it then in his Gospel here in the opening chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ coming full of grace and truth, the truth graciously revealed, the Spirit of it. He knows none can come to its standard. He is the only Holy One. But because the love in his heart is set upon him, he has that deliverance to freely make known. For he knows each of the children then of the covenant of grace, whom he has brought into the family of God by his own Spirit of adoption, to be the sons and daughters of God. And to see such then he brings under this knowledge of truth to feel themselves a condemned sinner, and to beg of the Lord that mercy to be forgiven of that sin. To acknowledge we truly are those deserving to be condemned and cut off forever. And ye shall know the truth. Oh, what a blessing then he speaks of the truth being made known, made a reality then that is to be made a blessing, a great profitable blessing to us. And really in the Spirit's work of sanctifying us, it is a continual revealing of the knowledge of truth in the Lord Jesus to our soul, and bringing us in the humility all the more before Him. That you realise that the more that we do know, the less that we do know, or feel to know. That what He makes known then is not a knowledge that builds ourselves up in our own understanding and spirit to boast of it. It is not a knowledge in the head, it is a knowledge in the heart. And it is bound up in those truths that the Spirit then has sent to Jeremiah when He revealed the covenant of grace, declaring the same promise that they shall be my people and I will be their God, saith the Lord. And this rich blessing of their sins and iniquities I remember no more. But He puts within that covenant blessing then, the truth is revealed to them. They shall no more teach every man his neighbour and know the truth, for they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. Or the imparted knowledge then by the Spirit, the revealed truth by the giving of a new heart, a new spirit, the new softened heart that acknowledges sin and trembles before the Lord under the condemning truth of the law, that cries out as guilty, pleading for mercy, seeing the only hope of deliverance is in the death of another, even the death of the Lord Jesus, who gives His life for the guilty, to implant the blessing of righteousness and truth to the guilty, of sin to be forgiven forever. That the truth made known then in the soul by the same Holy Spirit to know the truth, they shall each know it from the least to the greatest. All alike shall be under the unction or teaching of the Spirit to have the knowledge of the truth. It was not reliant upon what they had been brought up under in the natural sense, but were what was sanctified or used of the Spirit to be made a blessing. And now we need that in our hearts, that we humbly believe has been shown us of the Lord. That as we have read God's word, as we needs must, reading it prayerfully and in faith to God who has given it, it might be in that continual way of the Lord to show us Himself, to reveal Himself, to guide us in that truth, to lead us out of ourselves unto the Lord Jesus, to bring us feeling our need of Him, to be our helper, our teacher, our guide, our all. He speaks in this wonderful way then to these exhorted to continue in my word, or in the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, which of course is the law being fulfilled by Himself, and Himself being that righteousness that we need given us by faith. He graciously imputes it. Faith believes it is that given blessing, and sees that our only hope is there in what He is to give us, which is expressed of course really in this where He says, "And the truth shall make you free," or set at liberty then from the servitude or bondage then of ourselves to sin, of our own deadness and ignorance in our own nature. The servant abideth not in the house for ever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, what a show that is, it needs to be. But oh, how vital the if in it then. What a blessing it is, the Son that shall make free under His own revealing truth and power. Ye shall be free indeed. That through His own self, in giving freely of Himself, being the Lord our righteousness, revealing the truth graciously, that He has that every blessing to give us. And expressed of course in that later way when He speaks to His dear disciples in John 14, that He is this one being the very truth in our text this evening. Jesus saith unto Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The access to God is through the Son of God. The way is the way of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ being that truth. His truth indeed is the life. As much then as we have read, he emphasized the light would be the life. He has come this light. And expresses in those truths after that initial part in the chapter that he is this same light. I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a blessing, the light in this sacred truth and of our Lord Jesus Christ. We may feel that in the experience of the truth that we know of, in our feelings, is exposing all the more how dark we are, how far off, how unable we are. But the Holy Ghost does not leave the soul in a despairing condition there. He knows how low to sink us and how low he is permitted to reveal truth to us, that we may feel our right condemnation and our own spirit know their own self as sinners and realize how unworthy and fit we are, and give us that grace of humility to bow beneath it. And no longer argue against that teaching of righteousness, and ye shall know the truth. So it is what he has appointed then to be known by his own power to uncover it, to be himself that very light, to enlighten us and to give us the eye of faith to see, to open our eyes likewise. And in that way, as he preaches in his own gospel, the giving of the hearing of faith, the seeing and all manner of things, the strength of the limbs to walk the way of faith, to evidence that we are those raised from the dead, and that we have that leprosy of our sin cleansed from us. And he is one who reveals this great blessing of the gospel to the poor, who in every aspect see their great poverty as blind and deaf and unclean, and thereby in all senses dead to what their need is. He in his great light and power gives life, gives himself. Oh, what a blessing the promise is for the soul feeling its ignorance to know Christ, know the truth. Oh, to know him crucified for us. That is the great blessing that sets free here in his teaching this evening. And the truth shall make you free. But expresses it in a way to whom my Jesus crucified by far excels all else beside. I could from all things part of even ever, ever, Lord, from thee. That which he saw was a vital need for truth. The blessing of Christ crucified revealed to our trembling soul. And ye shall know the truth. Yes, the truth concerning ourself, and a lost condition, that truth concerning him and his ability to save, his love to save sinners. But indeed he is a righteous, holy God, and yet a God full of mercy, of compassion, of revealing that blessing of mercy to whom he will, of giving of that power and truth to bring us in humility to ask of that blessing, to see the light of hope in the soul that he has that free to give. How the psalmist in Psalm 130 views it like that when he speaks, if thou Lord should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? In the knowledge of truth, the certainty then that we must fall under the condemnation of our sin, and he marking those sins of ours, we deserve them to be marked forever and condemned forever. But it is of his mercy then he doesn't act straight way upon the record of sin. There is a record, he has a knowledge, he is the God of truth. But he yet spares those whom his love is to be revealed to, is set upon, to know the blessing of what follows. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Or one that may be worshipped and reverenced, because this same God who has a right to condemn all, yet has a great love to save whom he will, and to bring a soul to long to that blessing of our soul to be saved, to yet say such a word as we have before us. Lord, thou saidst, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, what a glorious truth, then, that we might plead it before our God this evening. And in a continued way, we would be thy disciple indeed in this continued way of thy word. But know this divine certainty thou hast promised. Is not the Lord pleased to hear these truths that he has taught and given us to be the substance of our petitions, that he has made known, that we come pleading them as we feel the need of them, made known to us, that it should not be in their letter but in their power of the Spirit, be in the reality of them. Truly indeed, it will bring us to tremble all the more at our lost selves and sinful selves before the Lord. That bring us in that right spirit of submission to him who has this delivering power to set free, to open the cell of our captivity, the prison door, to show forth that on his side of the cell that he has found us in, as it were, prisoners of hope, or prisoners with hope, because he has the door, key to the door to open it and set free. He knows that we are bound in those fetters there and chains and deserve to be lost there forever under our own spirit of sinfulness. And the devil will tempt us. We are soon in that place of captivity again to self, when our eyes are failing, our faith is dim, and we cannot see the way clear before us. And now he appoints those testing times for this knowledge of truth in the soul, to show it shall conqueringly reign. It cannot be overthrown. We have many fears in what we have the knowledge of, but oh, may the certainty ever remain with us of he who has given us that knowledge, Jesus, whom is spoken and shall speak and must speak and reveal that he is present as one made known unto us. That what he has begun to make known, he will continue to do so. And we might say, well, what he has made known, well, what a blessing that is, that really in what he has made known in any wise is but a beginning. It is so much more, and really a never ending eternity will be what is needed to have that further and full knowledge of a dear Saviour. And the great wonder of this truth is making us free. That great freedom and liberty of his presence eternally. And the truth shall make you free. Oh, do we look to our own good works this evening, our own thoughts, our own abilities, our own feelings, as to be set free from our fears or our ignorance. But may our eyes be upon him fixed, and there our hopes to be saved, as we have sung, to send his Spirit to be the Spirit of truth in revealing truth to us, to perform that covenant blessing that they should all know me, that truth might be fittingly known and felt in the soul of the wonders of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thereby the psalmist prays in that petition that we try to pray before the Lord in our prayers, that he would open our eyes to see those wondrous things out of his law, or out of the word, the doctrine of God's word to us. Christ is a wondrous truth then of the law fulfilled, the condemnation removed, the substitute provided, and the substitute laying down his life. Oh, how we need that way revealed of truth to our soul, and to show us indeed that it is himself for me. That he redeemer in the place of the guilty, and that it's he that has died and we that shall not die. And reading of one's work in missionary work, another's work in missionary work of old, and expressing in those few words of the Negro that expressed the truth in the English language, of course, was very limited. And as the preacher's words was going out and speaking of the truth, he saw that me die, as all the dear man could speak of it. It found him out as a guilty sinner. And come to that dear man and say, me die, me die. And as the truth was further preached on each occasion, the gospel in it, then he came again to speak to that missionary preacher and say, well, me die or he die. As he had heard of the Lord Jesus Christ who came to die for sinners, and he saw in that clear way that it was either himself that must die forever or another has died for him. And that surely he was one that was given to die for guilty sinners. And as he first felt then that it was he that should surely die, must die. And what a truth in the knowledge of it this is, to bring it home personally, that me die, I must perish. And then by God's blessing to set free, begins to open the eyes a little to show that there is yet one given to die in the place of guilty sinners. And so he declared his knowledge of that being made known, that me die or he die. And then finally, when the Lord was pleased to set the dear man's soul at liberty and to show that great wonder of the truth shall make you free, it was he die, me not die. That he was one that had laid in his life for him. And he then could say, me not die. Oh, he could see that certain setting free of liberty. That he should yet live. That he lived upon the death of another. And you see what glorious divinity then there is in such simple language and yet expressive. So wonderfully then in the spirit of the Holy Ghost teaching in the soul. It may encourage us this evening. We do not need those great words to tell of the love of Christ to our souls. But may it be in those expressions of truth in simple ways that are greatly deep then in their profoundness, in their sincerity, that we, under this knowledge of the truth, see that we deserve death and must die. Except another die in our place. And that is that great solemnity, of course, of sin and the servant of sin, that we earn the wages of that service which is death. But blessed be God, the gift of his dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is eternal life. Because he comes to die. The truth shall make you free, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth. So what a precious thing when we know the truth then of a substitute, the Saviour revealed, the Lord Jesus Christ made known. What was before this people, of course, in their Old Testament dispensational way of the ceremonial law, and the many offerings of the sacrifice, the innocent beasts being slain in the place of guilty sinners, and the blood of those offerings being sprinkled or applied to show the certainty of their death, they were sheltering under, pleading that they, being guilty, might yet be washed on their sin, and the offering of the innocent one might be accepted on their behalf. What then our own spirit in its poverty then cannot come to, saying, well, we're like these self-righteous characters here, then we're not in bondage to any, we're not sinners, we're not guilty of anything. We've been kept from every sin, we live an upright life, and oh, do thank God ever for that keeping power outward things, but oh, how defiled we are inwardly. Though there be an outward right and righteousness that we need to keep a longing, not trusting in it, but praying God to keep us much more inwardly from what we are, and trusting in our own self for being upright. But pray to be all the more kept inwardly and outwardly, and kept in this way of continuing in his word, looking unto him, seeking him to reveal himself out of his word to us. And ye shall know the truth. What a blessing the Holy Ghost is, that divine teacher, in that most certain way to reveal the need of the sinner and the place of the sinner's needs being met in the wonders of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth shall make you free. Christ revealed shall make us free. And let us not be cheated out of that blessing this evening, that the devil will tempt us, that we can be changing our ways and make ourselves free. We've lived a better life. We've prayed better prayers. We have a much better understanding in this matter. We sufficient of ourselves now to go on in what we are. Not so. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal himself all the more and to bring us into this freedom and liberty of himself. Only by his presence he can make known to us. Only by himself being that light in our darkness can give us. Only by himself that we are to bow before in confession and acknowledgement of our sin, and asking of his appearing for us to bring his blessing. And so we have this next shall then, and the truth shall make you free. That the precious truth then that shall be known and revealed in the Lord Jesus, the truth as it is in Christ or in the Lord Jesus, the blessings of the grace and truth, the truth graciously revealed, graciously made known, the condemning law fulfilled by himself, the condemnation removed because he has had it laid upon himself, and the condemned should go free. The blessed Spirit given the new heart and new spirit to be under this divine teaching should be also set then at liberty, the knowledge of sin forgiven, revealed. Oh, the blessing of the Redeemer's work done, the debt paid, the washing of the filth of sin away in his precious blood, the experience that we read of dear Bunyan describing his Christian coming to Calvary and the burden falling off his back, the weight of that sin removed, it was carried by another, the condemning power that he felt in the weight of it, the bowing down under it, that he could not free himself from it by his works, but only in this way of Christ, going to Calvary, going on to heaven, the way of sanctifying that was in that way, to separate from that hope in self, or the dependence upon that one place of Calvary. And so the truth shall make you free. What a shall this is, and that our souls need to be brought under the rich blessing of Christ revealing his wonderful saving power and love, the wonders of his dying love to us. That sacred matter then that we seek to walk before him in, what debtors we are to his love and mercy, truly having broken his law and deserve his condemnation, yet he receives that condemnation, has received it, paid it to the full, cried under it, it is finished, and by the Spirit's power reveals to set the soul free. Oh, and the truth shall make you free. So he sends his Spirit then to be the Spirit of truth, whom the Lord Jesus Christ was promising in those later chapters of this gospel, that he should indeed reveal and make known the things of Christ, the blessings of his one sacrifice, of his all atoning blood, of his perfect righteousness, and that the Spirit himself would through those sacred truths show his great resurrection and glorious victory over death and sin itself and hell, and bring forth his people as risen with him as conquerors, even to the death that we are to be subject to yet in due time. And to show that he has perfumed the very grave itself with his own presence, and has vacated that grave as one living. And though we must lay in the grave in the body, the soul must ascend to him in heaven above, as set free then from the body of sin and death that we presently are in. Oh, it is his purpose that we should remain in it for that set time until death. But with the liberty in the Spirit then he is to bring in these glorious views of our Lord Jesus Christ's saving love. Of one that washes every sin away. That speaks like he did to the woman, doth no man condemn thee, and neither do I. Oh, he was verily God and man. He could have emphasized all the more the condemnation of that truth he had already given, which was rehearsed before him as his truth, which alas they were ignorant of their need of personally. As he brings that personal knowledge, so it took away their weapons, as it were, of condemnation, or using it in a wrong way. and brought them to be accused ones. And then the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to such then can set free. And we hear him say, also neither do I, though we deserve every matter of condemnation. What a setting free then is in himself, in his own word. He speaks the word because it is the will of his heart, the message of his spirit, the knowledge that he sets free because he has borne the payment himself, has bared the weight, has carried the sentence of death for the dying sinner. And the certainty then of setting free is that certainty then that he should die for sinners and be one suffering under it. That which only he could do and has done, what a blessing that is. But he would have us to value that blessing as what has cost him so much, that what he freely is to give unto whom he will. That we should come with reverence and godly fear and seek to honour and glorify him as one that we are so indebted to then in such great love and mercy to our dying, sinking souls. That we might be strengthened with the greater faith in our hearts to see the great wonder of such a dying love, and the truth shall make you free. For himself then revealed is to set us free. He is a deliverer, a helper, a guide, one to bring us out of the bondage and of our lost place and condition and hopelessness in our own spirit before the Lord. And ye shall know the truth. So the truth then of the liberty is to be known in the heart's feelings, to remove that great weight and burden of sin, to show that it is truly cast upon him. He lovingly has borne it and carried it, but he remembers now the victory he has over it, and brings us forth people in that victory to be risen with him, to live in that new life unto him, wishing to be rid of the old nature that is within us, and yet he still permits it to be found so, and still cleaveth to us as we cleave to it, alas. Praise in that particular way then in that later chapter in this gospel, that they should not be taken out of the world, but be kept from the evil thereof, or be kept from the tempting power and the inward drawing to it of their own spirit, but pervade this same liberty that we should be from him to set free. It is the eye of faith in looking unto our Lord Jesus, pleading with him to speak and to reveal himself and to show himself mighty to save one so far above the depth of our poverty and the helplessness of ourself. And to show that he in heavenly glory is that continual helper and guide and one to bless his dear people. One to condescend to them in his spirit to set them free. To gather up their souls in the liberty of the gospel. And they precious then the emphasis of the spirit in the truth of Christ as the Saviour, as a great high priest interceding. Their mediator, the go-between the guilty sinner and the holy God, the one who reconciles and brings together, who has the peace-speaking blood, that's the full atonement that makes it one, and brings us one, brings them as sons and daughters of himself, by his own blessed adoption and adopting spirit, the power to save to the uttermost. And the truth shall make you free. Or as we read in that 36th verse, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What an answer is to the tempting devil, the condemning devil, that the Lord says, ye shall be free indeed. It shall be what he has expressed as an indeed blessing for the trembling soul, one that is so high then beyond their thoughts and our own spirit. But what a blessing. Faith reveals it. The Spirit makes it known. Christ is a light that gives it freely. And may he shine upon it for us this evening and in our pathway, to renew our faith and hope in him the Saviour. May the Lord bless his word this evening and forgive all that is amiss. Amen.
Conclude by singing together hymn number 812 to June Grosvenor 154. Whene'er I make some sudden stop, for many such I make, and cannot see the cloud cleared up, nor know which path to take, I to my Saviour speed my way to tell my dubious state, and listen what the Lord will say, and hope to follow that. He is my helper and my guide. I trust in him alone. No other helps have I beside. I venture all on one. Hymn 812, June Grosvenor 154.
Thank you.
gracious and merciful Lord, in thy mercy do forgive and pardon all that they do see amiss in our worship this evening. Do bless unto us the word of thy truth. Be our keeper and helper now as we separate in journeys long or short. Bless those at home disconnecting from the service also, and give that good night's rest in due time to each one, we pray. And do guide us each, we pray, by thy counsel, and afterward receive us into thy glory. O may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, abide with us forever. Amen.